It's Gordon Duncan from Clyde One Super Scoreboard here. You're about to listen to me bang on about Scottish football for the next hour and a half or so. But before we get to that, let me remind you of this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Golden Goals.
Golden Goals is absolutely flying now. Well over £20,000 in the cash pot. If you've not heard about this yet, where on earth have you been? Every time Celtic or Rangers score, we're going to throw cash into the jackpot, and one lucky person wins the lot at the end of the season. You could do so much with this money. It's enough for a deposit on a house. You could buy yourself a brand new car. Gordon DL, I don't even want to know what you would spend the money on. Mark Wilson, you like the finer things in life. You would make sure it went to good use.
Yes,
I'm absolutely sure. However, I think we're glad it wasn't around in your day. Can you imagine every time Daniel Kuzan dragged you up and down that touchline? Every time Kenny Miller out-jumped you at the back post. Kerching, kerching, kerching. It would have been unfair. But anyway, if you want to win this huge cash prize, currently sitting over £20,000, then you have to enter. That number, that 20 grand, is going to go up and up and up till the end of the season. Now, to get involved, you need to text GOAL to 61025. So get your phone out, write the word GOAL, G-O-A-L, and send it to the number 61025. I'm proper patronising you with the instructions there. It's like speaking to Hugh Keevans working the Nokia. Anyway, text costs £2 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only, and the terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. The lines close 6pm Saturday the 21st of May, which is Scottish Cup final day. But don't hang around until then. Just text GOAL to 61025.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a definitive night in the Premiership and preview what's still to come. Celtic are champions for the 10th time in 11 years after a draw at Tannadice was enough to seal the title. Dundee are relegated whilst Motherwell and Dundee United have qualified for Europe. And UEFA advised ticketless Rangers fans not to travel to Seville, but Stuart Robertson says it's unlikely the game will be shown back at Ibrox. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, there's only one place to start. That's to congratulate Celtic and being champions once again. 10th time in 11th years. Remarkable, and no one could see it coming at the start of the season. Wasn't a vintage performance last night, but the team knew what they had to do. They just had to go over the line, and they did it. A remarkable achievement. Well done to them. That's the season over. Let's wrap it up.
You've been sitting waiting since 5:30 to get in and say that. But congratulations to Celtic, everyone concerned, obviously. Ange Postecoglou, what a job he's done this year, Gordon, picking up manager the years as well, quite rightly so. He's been absolutely terrific. And Celtic got the job finished last night. But also, big congratulations to Motherwell and to Dundee United for success. Yep.
Absolutely. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you on last night's action. It was all pretty much set in stone now. We know who the champions are. We know the order pretty much of all 12 places. We know who's in Europe. We know who's going down. It was, like I say, a definitive night. And we are now into the week, if you like, Gordon. The week leading up to Seville. It's already been quite the build up. It's just going to pick up pace for the Rangers fans. Rangers had a big media open day today, so you're hearing from all the players and the management and even some board members. The travel plans are being finalised. 6 days time. When you two come on here in 1 week's time, well, in fact, you're on holiday, but forget that. Let's not ruin the dramatic effect. Well, no, Rangers will either be Europa League champions or they'll be licking their wounds and perhaps still looking back on a good achievement at getting there. So it's going to be an incredible 7 days.
Yeah, the Celtic fans celebrated in style last night at Tannadice, and quite rightly so. And the Rangers fans, they're looking forward to next Wednesday. They're hoping to celebrate as well, Gordon. They've still to go to Tynecastle. But interesting, I think their talking point on Saturday will be, what will the Rangers team be? I think it'll be a very squad-minded team. I think all the big hitters played last night, rightly so, 7 days before a big game, and they will be rested for the following week. So going through to Tynecastle, nothing to play for apart from a bit of pride, and obviously you still want to win games. I think it's an opportunity for some younger players, young Lowry coming in last night, so it'll be interesting to see that team. But once the weekend's finished, all eyes will be in the countdown to Wednesday night.
And it's funny, Mark, that as much as the football is interesting for who will play and who won't play, the logistics are still probably what's on everyone else's mind. Who's going? Who's not? Are you meant to go if you don't have a ticket? Where are you going to watch it when you get there? Can you watch it anywhere here? These are still the things that need to be ironed out over the coming days.
Well, the stories will keep coming. You know, everybody you speak to who's a Rangers fan seems to have some sort of story, whether they're going to the game, whether they've got a ticket, whether they're wanting to watch it somewhere here and they're going along with friends. Everybody's got a story, and it's exciting times if you're a Rangers fan, because the week building up to it is hugely exciting. You know, so much goes on, so much to look forward to. It's a big, big week ahead.
Right, Rangers fans, get your calls in, 01419511025, whether it was last night or whether it was looking at what team will play at the weekend, or the logistics, like I said, how you're getting where and who's watching it with who and all the rest of it, because we'll hear some interesting stuff from Stuart Robertson later on, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst for that matter. Let's look back first before we look forward, because Celtic are champions. What do you make of that, Celtic fans? Sum it all up, 01419511025. Now is the time. Ange Postecoglou says it's hard to sum up how he feels and how much winning the title means to him. He hopes the players can savour every moment.
It's hard for me. I just, you know, it's hard for me to comprehend. I've had this lifelong dream of kind of managing a famous club and trying to make an impact, you know. You know, I'm in this spot now where, you know, I've achieved something that I've always wanted to achieve, and yeah, I guess it's just a weird kind of feeling for me. Well, you know, I want the players to enjoy this. You know, they, like I said, they've been immense. It's not easy to do what they've done, to get thrown together, just a group of people from just about every corner of the globe, and to form such a strong bond as a group, and you know, never shy away or never make excuses or never make allowances for anything, just to keep going and keep going. You know, it's their moment. They're the ones that have, you know, accomplished this task, and you know, I want them to enjoy it, and I want them to understand just what, you know, that they've achieved something really special. I think it's a season that won't be forgotten very quickly.
Ange Postecoglou says it's hard to sum up how much winning the title means to him. So let's try together. What does it mean to you, Celtic fans? How happy are you to get it over the line? How do you look back on the campaign, where it was won, what contributed, what you make of the manager, all the rest of it? 01419511025. Alec is a Celtic fan to kick things off tonight. Sum up your feelings, Alec.
Feeling absolutely over the moon, Gordon, over the moon. My Rangers supporting pal says last year, after they won the league during COVID, that it would take Celtic 7, 8, 9 years to catch them. We've done it in 1 year. It must be because the team to the south side of the city weren't really bothering about the league this year. I'm wondering, this is all we're hearing, that nah, the league didn't matter. But we are absolutely delighted. We took our title back, 10 titles in 11 years. Back where we belong, top of the pile, and we can only get stronger.
Yeah, Mark, I think it's been pretty obvious why this one would mean so much when it got there. It's the unexpected nature of it, when you're being written off, when things, and by the way, that's even Celtic fans probably writing off their own title chances. You know, it's not all people being unfair from the outside, but those are the ones that sometimes do feel the most satisfying.
Yeah, and I think when you pair that with the hurt that remained in the summer from last year, last season's title was such a big one for the Celtic fans. It went so dramatically wrong that the hurt carried on through the summer. Whoever was appointed was still going to get that kind of feeling about the club through the sports. They would support whoever was in charge, but it was still lingering there. So to go ahead and win the title off the back of that, you seen the relief last night at Tannadice. You seen the pictures at Celtic Park. That all comes through that sense of amazement that, like Ange Postecoglou said there, this group of players that were flung together and expected to go and challenge a Rangers side who had remained the kind of same squad, albeit with a change of manager, and have proved a very good side, as you see getting to the Europa League final. They had to overcome that. They had to have an almost perfect league season from the loss at Livingston, and they did. So that's what makes it extra special, and right up there, ranks right up there with the titles that Celtic have won that I can remember anyway in my lifetime.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, because I gave Celtic absolutely no chance when I seen their squad in the summer, Gordon. They brought in this new manager, apart from myself, that I heard about. It was great to see my big mucker last night being emotional during the interview. It shows you how much it meant to him. But I just think Celtic have been excellent. If you look at 37 games played so far, 90 points, 86 goals, 22 conceded. It's not bad. They deserve to be the champions. They finished it off last night. And I just like Mark, from where they've come from in the summer, and I watched their squad and I watched some of their pre-season games. What a remarkable turnaround it's been. And Mark quite rightly points out as well, you come up against, it's not like Rangers have been a poor side this season. They're in the Europa League Cup final. So it's been a terrific achievement.
Alec, what's pleased you most about it?
The fact that we were written off after the first three games, Gordon. Obviously, as Gordon says there, the pre-season, I think we played West Ham, and West Ham beat us, I think it was 6-1, if I remember right. They actually ran right with us. And the way Andrew's came in, came over here himself, didn't bring anybody with him, took the backroom staff that was already there, and he's turned what I would say is ordinary players into very, very good players. The boy Ralph and the boy Taylor, both of them fullbacks. I mean, last year they were getting a lot of people shouting about them, but this year I think the two of them have been absolutely terrific. He seems to have the chance, he seems to have been able to make decent players into good players, and I'm really looking forward to next season. I think it was in the paper yesterday, we've already got a left back and a right back getting signed, and I'm really, really looking forward to him having a full pre-season under his belt and getting some more players, and I think we'll be even stronger next year.
Yeah, Mark, I'm glad Alec raised that. Let's start there rather than the headline is always going to be about the recruitment. I'll be amazed if we get through the rest of the show without acknowledging the part the recruitment played. What about the impact Ange Postecoglou made on the players that were already there?
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see the difference on those two that Alex mentioned. Taylor and Ralston, two key positions as well, that Postecoglou came with this idea of inverted fullbacks that we all looked at and went, what is this? You know, never really seen this. I remember going to see it in person, live at a game early in the season, and thinking, this is interesting, but this takes a lot of work to get this to work. And I mean, they must work tirelessly on the training pitch for it. I was lucky enough to speak to Anthony Ralston about it, and he says it was difficult to wrap their heads around it.
Sorry, when he didn't recognise you, remember?
Alright, Paul. Is it going?
Yeah.
But he told me how hard it was to work at it, and it's made him a better player and made him believe in himself. Remember, Ralston wasn't involved last year. Hardly kicked the ball for Celtic. Taylor was different. Taylor was kept out the side sometimes by Laxalt. Remember Diego Laxalt kept Greg Taylor at the
is that
side.
The guy that Shane Duffy was braiding his hair at the side of him pulling
the guy,
as the story goes.
So it's just an incredible transformation in those positions. And of course the other ones, I think Callum McGregor has had one of his best seasons, and he's had a lot of good seasons. Even when Beaton's came in and asked to do a job. So the guys that were there that had all that hardship on them the last season, the pressure, the criticism deserved, have come out the other side much better after working with this manager.
Yeah, and you can throw Tom Rogic into the mix there as well, Gordon. I think we all thought that he was in a plane out of Scotland going to Pastures New. And the manager's come in and look at the season, been nominated for Player of the Year as well. You're right, you touch on Callum McGregor. There's not a player that you look at the squad that's went back the way. I think Taylor was a whipping boy. I've been one that's been critical, criticised him before, but he's been absolutely terrific. He really has. He's just, you know, he's moulded into the player that Postecoglou wanted. He's bought into the fullbacks getting in the middle of the pitch and comfortable. Ralston on the other side, okay. Just now you would probably say Juranovic's first pick at right back. But Ralston, what a season. He would never imagined at the beginning of the year that was the sort of season he was going to have. So, yeah, he got credit to the manager. He's done a terrific job. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, a bit of breaking news for you Celtic fans tonight. James Forrest has signed a contract extension at the club until 2025. It's a fairly long-term commitment in him. What do you make of that? Pick up the phone and let us know. The Celtic manager says the side has come further than even he thought was possible. He says he's put everything into the job to make sure they found success.
It feels like two seasons in one. It feels like we've jammed in a rebuild season and a season of success, which, you know, I think even for myself, you know, with the best intentions and you know, I'm a pretty ambitious guy. I knew it was going to be a tough ask to get to the top, because I knew our starting point, I knew what the opposition, you know, particularly Rangers, were going to be a pretty formidable opponent to get above. And, you know, after round seven, you look at where we were, and, you know, to now be 31 games undefeated, it's been an unbelievable effort by everyone. It's taken every ounce of me, you know. I've put everything into it. I had to, because I knew how, you know, big a challenge it was, and you kind of, you know, we've now done it, and the overriding emotion is just, you know, one of sort of, I guess, relief and satisfaction. But, you know, you feel drained because, yeah, not just me. I think we've had to be really, really focused this year.
Come on, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Thank you to Alec. Let's bring in John, who is a Celtic fan. John, how happy were you to get over the line last night? How would you sum it all up?
Buzzing, I'm absolutely buzzing. That's what I like to come on and talk about, obviously, to touch on, obviously, about our call I was seeing there as well, obviously, about Rangers fans kind of saying they've took a shine after the title season. Not at all. I was buzzing when I was winning this, obviously, the way we've won it, considering where we were. Then I seen the videos last night, the celebrations at Celtic Park, it's got me even 100 times more buzzing. That was just starters, and coming Saturday, this is the main dessert, and I'll tell you something, they'll hear us all eating Saturday when we're celebrating, I'm taking the shine off nothing.
Come straight from starters to dessert. Yeah. There was no main course in there, but that's fine. Some people just like to mix it up.
He ain't chewing quietly.
John was buzzing because everyone had written Celtic off again. I'm seeing a bit of a theme there, Mark. And he's right. You know, the scenes at full time, then afterwards, then in the dressing room, then at Celtic Park, that showed you what it meant to everyone involved.
Of course. I mean, when you see the players as well, I know it was almost there over the last couple of weeks, but once you clinch, it's a different feeling. The players, you could even see the manager. The camera goes to him at full time. You've seen that first bit of emotion, really, because he's been so straight and down the middle with us. Not want to be disrespectful to anybody. And I think he's been telling his players to be like that as well. You know, go about your job in the right way. And once we actually win it, then we can celebrate. And it was almost like, you know, they were let loose. And the celebrations, like we touched on it back at Celtic Park, back in the, you know, 2008, when I came back from Tannadice and there was thousands of fans there. You know, again, it was relief. It was neck and neck. It was the last day of the season. But last night, it was slightly different. You know, it was just that pent-up hurt from last year. Watching Rangers celebrate and Rangers fans celebrate the way they did last year. You know, and pairing that way, nobody thought there was a chance of this happening. That just makes it extra special for everybody.
How much do you love Ange Postecoglou, John? Sum it up.
Too much. I don't know. I can't put it into words.
Too much.
I hope he's got a contract for life.
Yeah, I can't remember such. No, that's not strictly true. Of course, Celtic have had a lot of managers that were popular, Gordon, but it just seems to be, again, whether it's because of the way it's been, and then maybe that sort of siege mentality when you see other people saying Ange who and sacked by Christmas, even though some Celtic fans were a bit critical of him as well. When you see that, you then start getting behind he's our guy, if you like, and the success, just you can tell what it means to the relationship between the Celtic fans and him at the moment.
Yeah, I think who would love him most out of Celtic's the backroom staff, because he could have easily walked in there and emptied the place, Gordon. He really could have. He'd have got the backing to bring his own staff, everything in there. But he decided to go with the guys, and it's worked. And I was watching the game coming in for Tannadice last night, and the first thing, when the whistle goes, he goes to his staff. So it shows you the commitment. It shows you what they've got together. He's happy with that. John Kennedy come in for stick. Strachan come in for stick. But all of a sudden, that team's gelled together. And they've worked brilliantly together. And he appreciates the roles that these guys have played in the background for him.
You came in for a bit of stick, Mark Wilson, because you were the earliest on here to change your prediction. Look, let's just be honest. Everyone thought Rangers were going to win at the start of the season. And when I've been asking, you know, in the last few days, at what point did you think it turned in Celtic's favour? Everyone either says the 3-0 against Rangers or the game at Ibrox not so long ago. A lot earlier than that, you said you want to change your prediction. you want to go for Celtic. When was that? Was it about September?
I think it was about September.
And if so,
it's Wednesday, 5 o'clock.
Why? Yeah. What did you see in
I just seen, I think you can, when it gets to about September time, I think you can see a team form and how their season's going to pan out, unless something extraordinary happens in the back end of the season. But when I seen the team play the way they were in certain games, I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but I could see that there was only one way they were going to go. They were going to get better because they were good. When they got a good day carrying out with Ange Postecoglou the way he wanted to play, then it was extraordinary stuff, you know. And they took six off, was it Dundee, six off St Mirren, was it? Later on, they took seven off St Johnson as well. You could see that there was something there. And I thought the more he worked in that, towards from September to December, then that was going to be hard to beat if they could get that right more often, and they did.
Thank you to John and Bishop Briggs. It's 01419511025. Celtic fans, come on here and celebrate your title. Rangers fans, what are you thinking ahead of Seville? What is it that's on your mind today? Is it the team lineup? Is it what happens at the weekend? Is it what you witnessed last night? Is it the plans for travel and fan zones and beanbacks and all the rest of it? Pick up the phone, get in touch, and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's the usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I know Rangers fans, you're all very much with a one-track mind towards Seville. There is an update tonight from the club saying they are in dialogue with Spanish police, local authorities and UEFA regarding a safe environment for supporters travelling with and without tickets. We'll update supporters within the next 24 hours. Now this, of course, just a couple of hours on from UEFA saying that fans without tickets shouldn't travel. So the club are obviously working to try and smooth that situation over. We'll hear from Stuart Robertson. I want to hear from you. Pick up the phone and talk to us tonight. 01419511025. Let's hear from Celtic captain Callum McGregor, leading the celebrations last night. He'll get his hands on the trophy on Saturday.
When you take a slap in the face, in football especially, you know, you always get disappointment, you have to bounce back, and that shows people what type of person you are, what type of character, what you've got inside you that makes you different, and it's trying to prove people wrong, and when I stood down there and said it, I meant it, and like I said, this group of players have helped the club achieve that, helped me personally, so I owe them a lot as well, the way they've come in and delivered for the club in their first season. A lot of them coming in for, you know, all over the world, settling in so quickly, and to produce the performances, along with the manager's mindset and vision for the club, it's been spectacular. You know, after six games, you know, I think we were sitting sixth or something like that. So, yeah, it was big pressure, but even in those moments, we could see the signs that the team was coming together. All we needed was a moment for the group to say, we believe, let's go. And I think the one at Aberdeen away was the biggest moment, really. There's been other ones, obviously, but that one was a big one, just to say, you know, we're a good side, we can come and play football and we can win. And I think ever since that moment, you felt within the group there's a different mentality.
Interesting to hear Callum McGregor pick out that win at Pittodrie as his turning point. What do you think, Celtic fans? What was yours? Now let's speak to Frank in Kilmarnock and get his take on things. Frank?
Evening, Gordon. Hello. Evening, Mark. And evening, Gordon. Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
I was saying to the producer there, I've been away working in Leeds this week, and I can remember being at the start of the season, coming on and saying to the guys, if Celtic get respect back after what happened last season and get a gap into a single figure, probably second place in the league, that was where my expectations were. And if we were lucky enough to win a cup, I would have took it at the start of the season. I'm just being very honest. And then we've seen this roller coaster beginning to ride with Ange and the juggernaut. And I think what he's done is he signed brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. It's almost masterful that his signings to a man have worked out perfectly. And that's fantastic for the future. I was saying also to the producer that the big thing for me is there's guys like Ralston, Taylor, that were whipping boys, for the Celtic fans, and I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I wasn't one of them at times. Tom Rogic, people like that, the people thought I'd probably on their days a number at the club. What that man's done to the whole club, the support, all personnel it's done, to me is up there with the greatest thing I've seen as a Celtic fan in my 46 years. I never thought it was possible. The scenes at Celtic Park last night, I was in my hotel room and I was getting emotional saying that as a producer. Just seeing tens or thousands of fans at Celtic Park till 1 o'clock in the morning, all behaving brilliantly, may I add, and just having really, really good times. And Ange coming out in his megaphone, it was brilliant. And I can't wait to take my family to the game on Saturday and see what I regard as a football miracle, that league trophy is going to be back at Paradise. And to me, that's what football's all about. It's about roller coasters. But what Ange, Cal Mack as a captain, has done is way beyond my expectations, and I just can't thank everyone of them enough.
What was the turning point for you, Frank? You know, listening to Callum McGregor there, I'm interested in that Aberdeen game. If you remember, at the time Celtic had lost the first game against Rangers at Ibrox. Yes, they bounced back by beating Ross County, but they then lost to Betis, lost to Livingston, Wraith in there, drew at home to Dundee United, battered at home by Bayer Leverkusen, then went to Pittodrie. This is the 3rd of October, and with 6 minutes left, it's one each, but Jota scores to win the match. And that was Callum McGregor's moment, if you like. What was yours?
I know why Cal Mack has said that, because we'd not won away from home since February. The one game I can remember being there with my dad and my son, and you guys will remember it, it was a pivotal day to me. Rangers went to Ross County, had drawn 3 each. We were at home to Dundee United, and it looked like we were going to let it slip through our fingers. And Abada scored in the 94th minute. And that moment at Paradise was rocking. It was like beating Rangers. And that moment, to me, just put the momentum at the latter stages, probably the second half of the season. And then we'd done the same 3 weeks later, ironically, against Dundee. So Rangers dropped 2 points at Dingwall. Looks like we have not took any advantage. And Abada scores in the 94th minute. You've seen the scenes at Celtic Park. Mark was commentating, or certainly there, Gordon was. Celtic Park that day, the belief was there that this is reality. And that was a big point for me, that reality was there, that we could have done that.
I think, you know, Frank's right, that game was huge. I think that there are certain moments, you get to this point in the season, you start looking back in those moments. So home at Dundee United, away in Dingwall, where Ralston scores in the 97th minute, huge. You even think, you know, the game away at Ibrox, Carter Vickers scores, how important was that goal to win 2-1? The other game at Pittodrie as well, remember, where Celtic are cruising, Aberdeen get back into it, and then Jota scores, you know, right away. Big, big results. Tynecastle away at the turn of the year, just after the winter break, 2-1, where it was cruising, but then they're holding on at the end. A different way of winning. I think that's been the impressive thing about the Celtic side, because everybody talks about the scintillating football, the 6-0s, the 7-0s at home, but they found a way to grind out results as well. You know, when things weren't going your way, and you need that when you're champions. And big games like that, big moments.
Of course, it's impossible to overlook the head-to-heads with Rangers, Gordon. Celtic took 7 points in them. Rangers took 4 points. That's 3 points of a difference, and there is 4 points between the teams at the top of the league at the moment. So I know why people look at, you know, oh, when Rangers drop points to Motherwell and to Hearts and whatever, this is all perfectly valid. But sometimes we try hard to overlook the head-to-heads. Like I say, Celtic took 3 points more than Rangers did against each other, and there's 4 points between the teams as we stand here tonight with one game to go.
Yeah, I think the head-to-heads are always going to be very important, especially against the team that you're going up against to win the league, Gordon. I think Mark uses good words with the character. They knew how to find results. The Dundee United one with Abada was crucial. Ralston, that night, he scored on the Thursday morning, was unbelievable. But I just, they showed character to... We watched them in here many times. I remember watching them at Fir Park, and some of the football they played for 60 minutes was breathtaking. It was brilliant. You've got to give a credit to them. It was brilliant. But then there was other times we'd be standing in here thinking, this might not be Celtic's day, but they found a way to win. That's why they're champions.
Let me throw one on you quickly, Frank, if you don't mind. Just on some breaking news, James Forrest's been given a new deal at Celtic till 2025. What do you make of that?
My brother actually sent me a message about it because I didn't see it, and I think he's, like a lot of fans, wondering why. My response to my brother was, and I'll say it to any Celtic fan that's doubting it, just back Ange. If Ange signed that deal off, that's the way I see it. And Forrest has been a great servant to the club. But if Ange Postecoglou sees a player there for another few years, back Ange. That's the way I see it.
Mark, are you sharing Frank's brother's surprise, or is it a more straightforward one for
to
you?
To be honest, no, I'm surprised it's 3 years, just because of the age he is and how Celtic kind of deal with things at that age. Injuries always come into it. So I thought he would have got a new deal. I didn't think it'd be 3 years, but Daz always says there's still a lot of life left in him.
What a magnificent servant. I think at the weekend he'll become Celtic's fourth most decorated player of all time or something. He goes like one trophy behind Scott Brown, something along those lines. But both can be true. You know, you can be think he's deserving of a new deal, but still be a bit surprised that it's 3 years.
Yeah, I'm delighted to get a new deal, Gordon, because I've been crying out for it in this programme, because I still think he's got a lot to offer. Yes, Amayedas, Ejotas, Abadas, maybe a bit forward in the pecking line now compared to him. But I think it's just throughout loyalty. I think Celtic have showed the loyalty to James Forrest, because probably James Forrest, in the height of his career, there was clubs interested in him. Celtic probably were desperate to keep him, and they ended up, they kept him. So there's a bit of loyalty on both sides there. Yes, I'm a surprise 3 year, I think, like most people, but I am over the moon the boy's got a contract. I think he thoroughly deserves it.
Let's bring in Chris in Lennox Town and get his take on the league title win. Chris,
how are you doing, Pan? All right.
Thank you, good.
I'd just like to, first of all, congratulate Glasgow Celtic, and what an achievement for the start of the season when we were doubted and everybody had wrote us off, really, and it was Ange Postecoglou and all this carry on, and it wasn't looking too good. I actually phoned in last September, I think it was just after we beat Dundee 6-0, and it was just after hearing the King that we don't stop kind of speech on the training ground, and I knew there was something different about him. I knew there was something different with Ange Postecoglou, and that filters down to the players. And he says everybody here's got a chance, and a manager say that every time they go to a new club, there's a chance for everybody here. But I don't think they mean it that much. But he meant it, and he gave everybody a chance. And just look, I mean, Callum McGregor's another one, wrote off. He's never a captain, and Angie's mindset has just filtered down, just like it does with champagne glasses. You put the glass at the top and it filters down all through the players, and that's what's happened because of Ange Postecoglou's mindset. We are sitting champions of Scotland again for the 10th time in 11 years, which is unbelievable.
Very upmarket, going for a champagne, what did they call him? Champagne waterfall or fountain? That's the word I'm looking for. You can tell that's not my type of thing. That makes far more sense.
Daz is more Prosecco, isn't you? You wouldn't be champagne.
Oh, no, you'd be Prosecco, yeah. Well, cheaper. If you've been married 3 times, you should stick
just
with
look
the
after
cheap
the pennies.
stick with the cheap stuff.
You know, Chris mentions the mindset, the relentlessness. That training clip that emerged early on, yeah. You know, we don't stop. You just knew at that moment that would either be a stick to beat Ange Postecoglou with from rival fans if it didn't go to plan, or something Celtic fans would get tattooed on them if it did go to plan. And I don't know if the tattoos are getting booked at the moment, but clearly it's worked. I don't think anyone's suggesting that the high tempo, relentless in the face has been perfect all the time and, you know, cannot be beaten. Of course, maybe towards the end of the season, towards the end of games and whatever, but you cannot look at the season that's just passed and fail to notice that the way that Celtic went about it.
Yeah, well, it was clever. The club were clever in putting that out, because I think it needed it. I think the fans needed to see what was happening inside, because Ange Postecoglou was an unknown, and the fans had their mindset in Eddie Howe, and they were thinking, we've seen how Eddie Howe operates, and we see they quite quiet spoken, and we've heard ideas how he gets his message across. I think they needed to put something out about Ange Postecoglou, and that clip, you know, just epitomised everything about him, what he was bringing to the team. But the players then have to carry it out in the pitch. They have to play that way, and you've got to say they did from start to finish. They have. I've got to say, whoever made the decision to bring Ange Postecoglou in as well needs huge credit. Now, the Celtic hierarchy have taken a beating in years gone by, and in the summer it was pretty brutal, some of it. But was it Peter Lawwell, perhaps, before he went, had influencing this, and you've got to say it's turned out a remarkable decision to give an unknown such a big task and him to complete it.
Thank you very much, Chris, in Lennox Town. Enjoy the champagne.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Golden goals.
Right, I feel like we say this every time, but it was another huge night for Super Scoreboard's golden goals, because Rangers got 4, Celtic got 1, and that means we are bang on £34,000 to give away a week on Saturday to one of you who's entered the competition. We started in January with a grand. Remember that?
Yeah,
I didn't think it would get to weeks ago.
Much well,
£34,000. Thanks for listening. We've still got 4 games left to accumulate even more. Now it's a week on Saturday. The competition will be closed, so you're at that risky stage now. Don't put it off. Just enter right now and do the safe thing. Text GOAL to 61025, GOAL to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard message rate over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close 6 p.m. Saturday 21st of May. And one last reminder, that is GOAL to 61025. Rangers fans, where are you? We'll talk all things Seville after these.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here at 141-951-1025. Keep the calls coming in. Let's hear from Rangers managing director Stuart Robertson. He's been speaking today. It's obviously a big week coming up for every bit of the club, not just the player and the manager, but the management, the board. And he's telling fans to enjoy themselves in Seville, but is urging them to respect the locals and the city.
I think to the supporters, with or without tickets, is go and enjoy yourself, go and enjoy the occasion. I remember myself 2008 thinking, well, I see Rangers in a European final again, and here we are. You know, it's fantastic. So go and enjoy the occasion, go and be a great ambassador for Rangers. We're going to a beautiful city in Seville. Go and enjoy the city, but let's go and do it in the right way, in the right manner. But go and enjoy it. Go and have a good time. It's regardless of the numbers. Just go and, you know, go and do it. You know, respect the city, respect the locals. You know, there'll be people going about their day-to-day business. I remember Glasgow when Leverkusen and Madrid were in Glasgow, and there was a great atmosphere in the city that day. So hopefully we can create a similar atmosphere in Seville. And there's going to be disruption to people's day-to-day lives, but hopefully we minimise that and we do it in a way that's positive, and people, the local people, you know, when we leave, they have a good impression of Rangers.
He also says the Europa League run has earned them Champions League levels of money up to this point. However, I think a lot of Rangers fans are interested in this bit. He says it's unlikely they'll be able to open Ibrox as a fan zone to watch the Europa League final.
It's very, very unlikely, because most of the key staff that we need to organise and run such a beanbag are actually going to be in Seville. So I don't think that will happen. As much as we understand the desire of fans to be in one place to gather and watch it, I just don't think it's going to be physically possible.
Sure, if the team win the final, it qualifies them to the Champions League. How transformative could that be for the club? Because I know at the AGM you said you were looking to break even anyway.
I think it's always been the next goal for the club, is to get into Champions League group stages. The finances of that, everybody knows what the numbers are. They're all public, you know. So you know, but you know you've got that money in the bank at that stage. So it allows you to plan, and it allows you to facilitate things in the future. You know, the run we've had this year is probably now slightly more than we'd have had from qualifying for the Champions League this season, you know, and going out at the group stage. But it's a terrific boost. It just allows us to do so many things.
So this fan situation is one to watch. UEFA said earlier today, ticketless Rangers fans shouldn't travel. Now, there are only 9,000 tickets, and by the sound of this phone in alone, about 90,000 fans who want to go. So that sounds like an issue, but Rangers have updated tonight saying they're in constant dialogue with UEFA and other authorities to try and find somewhere to watch the games. It doesn't sound like that will be at Ibrox though, for those who are staying here. Let's bring in Tony, who's a Rangers fan from Motherwell. What do you make of all this, Tony?
How you doing, panel? First time caller.
Good to have you.
So what my point is, just speaking to the boys in work and just seeing general on social media about Stuart saying it was very unlikely for the fans to be able to watch at Ibrox, I just think it's absolutely shocking, to be honest. Like, this is the biggest moment in our history. After all this stuff with Sydney, is it going to take us to protest again to get our voices heard? Just seen on Twitter there that Club 1872 have actually wrote to Stuart Robertson asking him to rethink his decision. Just want to get kind of what your thoughts is on that. I mean, it doesn't make us any lesser fans because we can't go to Seville. We just want to meet up together, have a good time, see our team, and hopefully bring the European trophy home.
I mean, Mark, we don't have a great deal to compare it to because we don't make European finals very often. However, Rangers did beam it back to Ibrox in 2008. By all accounts, other teams that are in European finals this season are beaming it back to their home cities. Are you surprised that that's not going to be an option at Ibrox?
Yeah, I'm with Tony in this one. I think it is a poor decision from the club. We were chatting about it on Tuesday. I know logistically it could be quite difficult because there's not a lot of time to put this together. And I think Stuart Robertson was alluding there that a lot of the staff around the club might be away. But I think it's a pretty simple solution in terms of you get an outside events company to put it on. Your security, your stewarding system that you use in a regular match day, they're not going to Seville. So you hire that in and treat it as a normal match day. I think the supporters deserve to have the option to go to Ibrox and watch it. Stuart Robertson's talking about the money that they've made from this run alone. Astronomical amount of money. Well, surely they can put that in to putting something on for the supporters at Ibrox.
There's no doubt there will be a logistical challenge, Gordon, and we will never know everything that goes into it. Just from the outside, I think whether every Rangers fan is as strong as Tony or not, we'll find out. But you just get a feel for it. You can sense on social media there's a bit of frustration there. Up until this point, it's just been sheer happiness, joy, elation. Everything about the place has just been positive and brilliant because Seville's such a great achievement. And it is. This is not going to change that. But the fans who can't get tickets or can't travel or whatever, it feels like they thought there would be an option maybe to go along to something at Ibrox.
I would feel rather disappointed as well, Gordon, if I was a Rangers fan that, you know, was wanting to go and watch this game with the rest of the fans at Ibrox, knowing that how hard it was to get a ticket in Seville. I'm sure everybody would have bought a ticket if they could, but this limited amount of tickets, it's very hard to get that. The next second best thing would be at Ibrox. Now, Stuart Robertson's saying there about the you know, people being away and how to run it and everything like that. I'm a little bit like Mark, unless you know, there's something that we don't know. You surely can get events companies in to run that. I just think because of the occasion, I'm very surprised that Ibrox isn't open Wednesday.
And I know I was saying about the short time space, but I mean, Rangers knew last Thursday night that they were in the final. You would have, I know there was a lot going on, but over the weekend, you would have thought somebody might have said, right, what's the plan for this? You know, we could actually sell tickets to this, to have fans in, have almost a full house. And trust me, there'll be a lot of businesses out there probably willing to take the money to set up, you know, big screens and host that event. So, poor decision, my opinion.
Tony, it doesn't seem like it will change. You never know, we'll keep an eye on it. But also the fans that are going out there are getting mixed messaging, if you like, because UEFA's telling them that they can't go, which just seems ridiculous. I don't know, you know, if they expect anyone to heed that warning. That's going to be tough to enforce, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, we could bring 200,000 fans in the bill if we could. It just feels as if, again, it's Sydney all over. It's like the board and the fans are in two different sides. It's just shocking. I mean, all the boys in work, they were all really looking forward to it, and we'll meet up and we'll bring our partners and whatever else, and then all of a sudden it's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there is a counter to that. I've seen a lot of Rangers fans saying similar things, but maybe there are Rangers fans out there who don't agree and don't think it's a big deal. We'd like to hear all sides of it, so pick up the phone. Thank you to Tony, who called for the first time. Hopefully we'll speak to you again, Tony. Frank is a Rangers fan. What's on your mind, Frank?
Well, this week, Rangers fans who backed the club when we were bust have fought to £600, £700 for a season ticket. They're forking out money to go to Seville, a lot of money, and the club turn round and say they can't accommodate Rangers supporters going to Ibrox, those that can't afford to go because they've spent all their money on Rangers, to go to Ibrox, the home of the club that we've saved, and tell us that we can't go to Ibrox in the biggest night in 20, 30 years. They should be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely ashamed of themselves.
I mean, I also spoke to a Rangers fan today, Mark, who said that the beam back in 2008 was rubbish, and in that regard he was sort of glad that there wouldn't be something as poorly organised this time. I don't know if that's a reason to then not do it. You try and do it better, perhaps.
We're 14 years on. Technology's got a whole lot better in 14 years on. I mean, I'm thinking the top of my head in the last 5 minutes. Can it be that hard to get four screens, four big screens, centre circle, so that one's facing every stand? And like Frank says there, give season ticket holders an opportunity to come in.
I mean,
I'm thinking of MD's lesson from Rangers. This is a man who holds your.
Is he trying to apply for an events management position?
So four 55 inch tailies in the centre circle.
Give everybody a magnifying glass.
That's it. Telescopes, binoculars. There we go.
God, this man is doing his best.
I noticed Frankfurt appeared to be beaming it back. So I see the very simple argument there, saying, well, hold on a minute, are their match day staff not going to be in in Seville as well? And this is the crossover that you never knew you needed in Scottish football, Gordon. I've even seen Rangers fan going, hold on a minute, in a few weeks Harry Styles is playing at Ibrox, so if they can accommodate that,
good call. He'll have four screens guaranteed.
If you 100%. You're like Paddy with that Jacob on stand there like the bouncer events manager.
What, Max and Paddy?
Max and Paddy.
That is quite a Max and Paddy jacket. Why are you wearing it indoors?
His face is red raw. I can't keep my eyes off. He's roasting.
Ample temperature, thank you. I'm okay.
From Max and Paddy to Harry Styles to.
I think the majority of Rangers fans will be disappointed that Ibrox is not in Gordon. I really do. I think you can get ways around it. Mark quite rightly says here, we're 14 years on, surely. It's a coming together. Could you imagine them winning that and together at Ibrox, atmosphere, everything involved in it? It's a one off now, you know. So I think a lot of Rangers fans, and we've heard two tonight, really disappointed with that.
Thank you, Frank. It was nice to hear from you. I think that's time already for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I don't say this lightly, but this is the most excited I've been about Beat the Pundit in ages. Because after weeks, possibly even months of waiting for the mystery man, he's been back in touch. Black Arthur has updated the stats, the table, to tell us which pundit's top, who's in the middle, who's propping up the rest, win percentages.
I can see in your face already.
Points per game. He has got the lot all figured out.
See if I'm at the bottom, I won't play again.
So I'll tell you all about it, but we need to get a contestant lined up first. So come on, 01419511025. You could play Beat the Pundit, you could influence that league table, but your call needs to be in before 7 o'clock. And remember, just for getting through tonight, some tickets for the summer night race meeting at Ayr Racecourse as well. We'll speak to you soon.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
And I'm Gordon Duncan. I've got no idea what was going on there. We were hearing a few things at once. I just blame producer Callum for that stuff. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. Keep your thoughts coming in, Celtic fans. We have been hearing your tributes to your title winning team. Rangers fans, we're looking ahead to Seville. We're even started talking about Harry Styles and big screen TVs, and it all got a bit strange thinking about the logistics. But what about the football side of things? Game last night, presumably everyone rested at the weekend. We'll hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Look, I know what you're thinking. The league title's won. European places are sealed. Dundee are getting relegated, but do not think the season is over, because this is squeaky bum time on Beat the Pundit, or squeaky ball time. And that's not, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
We've got you've had that.
Two signed balls left.
No way.
How many shows left? Eight shows left of this season.
Really?
Two signed balls.
Two balls.
There is no chance we can give them away. All right.
Okay.
Oh no, that's pressure.
And Black Arthur has been in touch. This is the man. If you've never heard of him before, because he's a bit of an international man of mystery. He lives in a far off land, and every now and then he gets back in touch, where he's been listening to the previous shows, and he collates all the Beat the Pundit stats, and he comes up with a league table for the pundits, and it's really good. We probably should pay him for it, to be honest, because he does us a great turn. Top of the table, who are we going for?
Halliday or Hannah?
Halliday. But in fairness, him and Hannah have got pretty much identical records. It just so happens that Haldy's played once more.
Many games.
So win percentage, they're both on 92%. Haldy's just got a bit of a better decimal point.
Many games have played?
14.
14. I play that in a week.
Yeah, you've played the most by a mile. You've played the most by a mile, yeah. Let me tell you. So let's go down the table. Haldy, Hannah, Donnelly.
Who's Donnelly?
Sid
Donnelly.
Oh, Sid. Played, like, who's Donnelly?
Played 14, won 12.
Has he?
Sid.
Yeah, he's played 14 and he's only won one game less than Andy Haldy.
That's good for a guy that's part of the management team that get Brechin relegated.
Kenny Miller's decent, played 15, won 12.
Right, DL's 80%.
Well, let's just focus on the percentage at the moment. Right. Next. Mark Wilson, it's yourself.
Mid-table.
Yeah, mediocrity. Bang in the middle. You're a 75% win rate.
That's alright. I've been
many
judged
games.
That up before.
12.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
I am not going to tell you what percentage means one more time.
I know, but you're
Marvin
wrong.
Bartley has not played as many, but he's a 66%. He's tucked
hopeless.
In just behind
hopeless.
Mark Wilson.
This isn't looking good.
It's not good.
Me and the beans, man.
Second bottom.
Me and the wee beano.
Second bottom is DL. Hugh Keefe.
No! Yes! Yes!
Oh, I can't be bottom.
On 58%, which Bino means you.
Me.
What a record you've got.
Right,
played 44.
44 games.
122. 50% win record. Oh. Bang on.
That's
that kind of.
44? I'm tired.
That goes in line with your career. Didn't it?
Yeah. Okay, there, Wilson.
50%.
Many as we been all played.
Not quite as many as you. But the detail this guy goes into, apparently, right? So if you get your first question right, you win 60% of the time.
How does he know that?
Right. If you get your first question wrong, you only win 36% of the time.
That's good.
He's my favourite statistician on Twitter. This guy.
Did we get to the bottom what his job is?
No,
there must be something to do with that.
I think he's an international spy.
So take on board that I'm down there near the bottom, right?
Not near,
the bottom.
Right, okay, the bottom.
You're the strongest pundit.
Right.
Because you're holding everybody else up.
But very good, GS, I like that one. But where's Alec Ray in this table?
Well, he's been mysteriously removed because he's temporarily no longer with us because he took the job at Reading. But I believe we're going to hear from him in the next short time.
Well, tell...
I don't see, to be honest,
on that table.
That's a good point because Alec was having a rubbish start to the season.
He was having a shocker, wasn't he?
I think you'll find I'm climbing the table now.
I don't think he's below 50%.
44 games.
Oh, you know what? The other night when I was on here, we flipped a coin, and I was in your position there. I landed on the head for Roger.
44 games is incredible. That's tiring.
I think we had a bet at the start of the season. Whoever finishes higher.
No, we didn't.
The loser takes the other one out for dinner.
Yeah, I think. Do you know? I think Alex Ray might be
bottom,
below you.
There we go.
But anyway, right. Let's meet tonight's contestant, Scott's in East Kilbride. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, I've not.
Right, first time for everything. Now, listen.
Be careful what you wish for.
No. You're already a winner, Scott, because you've got the tickets to the summer night race meeting at your race course. Happy with that?
Well, actually, I live in Jersey, but I'm from East Kilbride. And I won't be home for a while because my girlfriend's pregnant, so we won't be back up the road for a while. But I can give them to somebody else.
Aye, Gordon Dale will take them. It sounds like a nice story. We wish you well with the pregnancy and all the rest of it. You take those tickets.
I was going to ask Callum for a couple of tickets. That's good, Scott. Thank you.
Yeah, Friday 17th.
You can have one of my balls.
Saturday 18th of June. Oh, never mind. Let's just please move on, shall we? I'm going to toss the coin. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon Dale. Will we just bust another myth while we're here? What do you always say? How much do you complain? You think it always lands on tails? It's in tails more than heads, but only 53% to 47.
No, he's talking nonsense.
You believe that? That surprised me.
Yeah.
I feel like it's tails all the time.
That.
Anyway, let's get to it. It's heads tonight. There you go. That's evened up even more. It's Mark Wilson against Scott and East Kilbride. So let's give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he doesn't know what's happening in here. Scott, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Yeah.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds then. Your time starts now. Who is Celtic's top scorer in the league this season?
Abadar.
Who did Zenit St. Petersburg beat in their UEFA Cup semi-final before playing Rangers in 2008?
Pass.
Which SPFL side play their home games now at the Billy Bowie Special Projects Stadium?
Kilmarnock.
Name the first English side Charlie Adam played with.
Stoke.
Which ex-Hibs manager is currently in charge of an English side in the Premier League playoffs?
Pass.
Name either side St Johnston faced in their European qualifiers at the start of this season.
Galatasaray.
Can I just ask something, producer Callum? Have you had a bad day?
Yes.
You want to take this out on the public?
Yep.
They were extremely difficult. Look at.
I thought they were tough.
Very tough. What's up? What's up with this guy?
Have you ever? I actually thought they were quite easy going. Honestly.
No, they're not easy.
Daz has given me the five, like he got five.
Five or six here with me.
Not a chance you got five or six. Anyway,
I'll write them down.
Let's find out, Mark Wilson, how you get on. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's Celtic's top league scorer this season?
Giakoumakis.
Who did Zenit St. Petersburg beat in their 2008 UEFA Cup semi final before playing Rangers?
Oh. Valencia.
Which SPFL side play their home games at the Billy Bowie Special Project Stadium?
Come on.
Name the first English side Charlie Adam played with.
Blackpool.
Which ex-Hibs manager is currently in charge of an English side in the Premier League playoffs?
Paul Heckenbottom.
Name either side St Johnston faced in their European qualifiers at the start of the season.
Galatasaray.
Who started off as Hearts manager in the season they were most recently relegated?
What's his name?
Pass.
Scott. Oh, what's his name?
He sounded like he knew them, Scott, to be fair.
I think he's got maybe Heckenbottom. I thought I was going to say him, but I didn't know if he
I
was
I thought
in
that was just tough there. Under pressure. I
think you're looking for Stendo.
Stendo!
Celtic's top scorer in the league is Giakoumakis.
Oh, no way!
Yeah. Oh, would you not have got that?
No, that's me doing you four. That's me doing his
Scott
four.
I said a badder. So it's 1-0.
Yeah, look, Scott.
That's who I went for.
I thought this was brutal. Zenit St. Petersburg beat Bayern Munich, apparently, in the semi final.
Who would know that?
Do not act as if that? You knew that.
I knew that.
Oh, nonsense. Absolute
Tell
nonsense.
Me the goal scorer.
The Billy Bowie Special Project Stadium is Kilmarnock. Both got it. So Mark Wilson leads by one. The first English side Charlie Adam played with was Blackpool. So Mark Wilson leads
what's
by
got
two.
Say, Liverpool.
Stoke.
Oh, even worse.
He did play with Stoke.
I know, but ages.
Paul Heckenbottom is the next answer.
Oh, that's sealed
it. Scott, it's not looking great. It's 4-1.
Hang up, Scott. See you.
Scott. Producer Callum's delighted because we were about to have to post the ball to Jersey.
Posted in package.
Safe now.
You both went for Galatasaray against St Johnston, yeah. But you know Mark's now 5-2 in front, and you didn't even get Daniel Stendel, but you didn't need it. 5-2 victory.
Ah, thanks, Scott.
Hardline, Scott.
Aye, no worries.
Good man.
Was that a big no worries? I'm off the phone now.
All the best to you and the family, Scott, by the way.
Yes, all the best, Scott.
Good luck, Scott.
Thank you.
Good man, that was Scott was on the line.
You, I
hope he's better at fatherhood than Pete the Pundit.
Yeah, he was hopeless. I'd have done him the night.
No, you wouldn't have.
All day.
No, they were too difficult
Stendel,
for you.
Stendel, I even gave you him.
I was convincing. For, I was comfortable. Once I know the first one, cruise it.
I was very impressed with your Heckenbottom.
Yeah, great shout from
that
you.
Was, thanks, guys. That means a lot.
I'm putting you up there.
01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's bring in Fraser, who is a Rangers fan who's down in Hampshire at the moment. But you're going to Seville, Fraser.
That's right, Gordon. Aye, good evening, panel.
Hello.
Gordon, Mark. Hope you're all well.
Thank you. How are you? Is it going okay?
I think finished work for the week now, so time to pack your bags for leaving on Monday.
What's the route? That's been my favourite part of this week. How are you getting from Hampshire to Seville?
So, starting off by picking up a camper van in London, leave there, Eurostar on Monday, down through France, down to Seville, and then back up leaving early hours Thursday morning.
So driving, essentially. How many's going in the camper van? 43?
There's four of us.
That's up your street.
That's
Marcus.
The way to do it. I
can
like
tell
the sound
you
of
would
that.
Do that.
Aye, Eurostar.
You're a Eurostar man, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, that's the way to do it. You know, leisurely drive down.
Yeah, do my head in.
I can't remember who, right? So this sort of ruins the story, except that. But I know someone, and they'll need to get in touch with me, who hired a camper van to go to the Euros in France in 2016.
Mm.
And just on their way to the first game, they crashed into a bridge. Like the bridge was too low, and they wrapped the camper van straight into the bottom of the bridge, like before they had even got to a game, and had everything that they possessed in the back.
Oh.
Like a week's worth of like booze and stuff. So they had to go and like, they obviously weren't even bothered about their clothes, but they were carrying these big boxes of beer out of the camper van, and I think it was a chaos after that. So Fraser, check the height of the van, will you?
Oh, definitely, aye.
Right, let's talk on the pitch a bit, Fraser, because there's been a lot about tickets and travel and fan zones and all the rest of it. What are you thinking on the pitch?
It's 2 points after the aftermath of last night. The first point being wee Alex Lowry. I've followed him since he's come through the squad, making his break into the first team. I think he's obviously he's wanting to watch for the future. But I was wondering, would maybe Gio play that trick card and play him in the final on Wednesday? I don't know what the panel thought.
No, I don't think.
That's that over.
I don't think he will. I think there's, you know, players in the pecking order before him. I think he is a very good player. I watched about the game last night. He's a very talented young lad. I think they're nursing him along brilliantly. They've got him now in as a part of the first team squad. He'll be training, he'll be in the dressing room, changing rooms every morning. He'll be learning his trade. Wednesday night is too big a game for him. I think he'll go with the tried and trusted.
The only thing that would, I'm not saying point him starting in the final, that's too strong, Mark, but last night was Rangers' strong team, remember. You know, like there wasn't any resting being done last night, there was no rotation, and they played. Now, if Ryan Jack's fit, then, you know, maybe he doesn't, so I accept that, but he's clearly closer than you would have thought a few weeks ago, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, closer than a few weeks ago.
So, you know, he's now playing on the nights that it's not the experimental team.
Yeah, yeah, but I still think it's maybe a step too much, a wee bit too soon for him. That's not to say he won't play any part. You know, there could be a point in the final where Van Bronckhorst has seen enough of him in that game with those players surrounding him that he can trust him to put him in, but I can't see him starting.
Does he, I mean, how does he jump above someone like even Aaron Ramsey in the pecking order, Fraser?
Oh, Aaron Ramsey's, you know, he's got the experience, and players like Davis. But with Ryan Jack being out, he's added arrow to the bow, if that makes sense. Obviously, Frankfurt been scouting us, as you'd expect, so it might be that trick card that Gio might play in the finals, what my thinking is, especially after last night as well, being in the team.
I think, like I said, last night would be a step in the right direction, but, you know, Ryan Jack would still have to come back from injury, Gordon, Aaron Ramsey's in there. It's not impossible, but I think everyone would be surprised, wouldn't they?
Yeah, there's a very strong area of the team that Rangers have got. You know, we've got callers on here talking about, you know, Davis can't get the game time that some Rangers fans would like him to have. I know Lowry's different. I know he's one for the future. I know that Rangers fans, any fans, love to see young players coming through and making the first team and being regulars. He's a talented lad. He signed a new contract, so they know that they've got time with him as well. I don't think there's any chance he'll be in the starting 11 Wednesday.
Fraser, there was an update on Kemar Roofe today. I don't think you could describe it as being optimistic. He's not in training yet. He's not being ruled out, but it would take, by the sounds of it, it's going to take a bit of an effort to get him back fit in time for the final. How much does that damage Rangers, or have you sort of learned to live without him recently?
I think if it happened this week, it would be panic stations, but we've been playing without an out-and-out striker for a few months, and I think we've adapted. Last night was a great display from Balogun and Goldson getting, you know, runs into the box. Your centre-back's in the 6-yard box, effectively, which sort of brings me on to the next point, which is, do you think it will be that sort of total football approach that we've seen Rangers play at times this season, or a more cagey affair?
Going to be very interesting, that, Mark, and we'll maybe get more of a feel of that next week. But Rangers have pretty much just always played the same way in Europe until they went to Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
Ibrox has been, you always talk the cliche about it being a fortress. Ibrox has played an unbelievably key part in Rangers getting to this stage. This one's not at Ibrox, it's more of it's a neutral venue, less crowd, all the rest of it. Does that allow you to still go as gung-ho? Does it
Do you be a bit more defensive? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, I was hugely surprised when Van Bronckhorst chose to play that way against Leipzig in the first leg. Now, it obviously worked, but I thought when they actually took the reins off a wee bit in the second half of that game, they were much better. They looked a threat again, and they played to their strengths, getting Kent the ball and allowing him to go at the fullback, and they'd created one or two chances. When it came to return leg, they reverted back to the way that they've been playing, albeit without a recognised striker, and it worked again. So every time Rangers have went for teams in this tournament, they have been successful. I think he should go that way again. I think he should stick to what they're good at and go at them. You know, they did a good defensive job in Leipzig, but they were undone. You know, at the end, they were undone. I think they should go all out to actually win the game rather than contain Frankfurt.
Thank you, Fraser. Enjoy the camper van and the Eurostar and all the rest of it. Hope you have a safe trip. It's 01419511025. We're going to hear from Rangers manager Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He's looking ahead to the Europa League final, and we'll hear from him with more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dyell are here. Keep the calls coming. It was a definitive night last night, so it would be nice to hear from the Dundee camp. It's official relegation. No nudity for Mark McGee. How do you feel about the season that's just finished? Motherwell fans, you've been on here sacking Graham Alexander, and now you need to get the passports out. So come on, pick up the phone and talk to us. Here's a teaser for you. It's been sent in by George B. So thank you to George, who says, can you name the 10 players who scored at any stage of any European competition for Rangers on the road to Manchester? Penalty shootouts not included. Name all 10 players who scored at any stage of any European competition for Rangers on the road to Manchester in 07-08. Penalty shootout goals not included. He says, also, if it's not too cheeky, Gordon, could you say a wee hello to my dad, also called George, who listens to the show religiously and particularly enjoys the full-time teaser? No, sorry, we can't do that, I'm afraid.
Ferguson, Barry Ferguson.
Yes, well done.
Stephen Whittaker.
Brilliant, well done.
I've got to throw up. Did Hutton score?
No, he did not.
What did he not?
No. Charlie Adam.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there. Go on, Gordon, give an extra hello to George's dad, also George.
Hi, George. George B or Georgie? What's he?
Well, it'll still be B, I would imagine.
Right, George, thanks for listening. It means a lot to Mark and I, and we really appreciate your support.
You took that much more seriously than I expected.
Keep the good listening up.
What a shout out that is. That was magnificent.
Sitting there going, listen to this
guy. We should
guy.
Get high. More shout outs for Daz. To meet them in a serious nature.
You two are like worldwide fame. Andrew Ironside has just tweeted in that right now he is scooting around New York on a little electric bike whilst listening to Gordon Duncan and the lads on At Clyde
SS. Well, that's just nuts. Why would he be listening to us?
Why not?
He's in New York.
So
I think that's good. I appreciate that. I think it's great. MD listen to me.
You don't listen to us. You listen when to me on here. Tuesday.
He doesn't listen when he's in the same room.
I know.
Good point. Do you know what? I've noticed that recently. Last night we were on till 11. We had a call from Washington, a gentleman who had been on the lunchtime cocktails. He said, Jackie.
I like that.
We've now got Andrew from New York. We had Nicky from Auckland, New Zealand. You'll have missed this, Gordon. Too late for you. I'm just going to play a bit of Nicky's call from Auckland, New Zealand last night, because you will love this. Did you say making teeth?
Aye. As making dentures.
Wow. What? Listen, that's as good a job as any. Just not what I expected.
Listen,
Nicky, dentures.
It's not been like pulling teeth talking to you though.
Oh dearie me. Nicky, it's time for him to go to his bed, isn't it?
Listen to that, Specky Wee Tube.
He's even a Specky Wee Tube on the other side of the world, honestly.
That's a brilliant delivery. Yeah, that's great. Oh, you couldn't have seen that coming last night, did you?
Even with the specs on, he could indeed not see it coming.
Did he laugh?
Yeah, he took it well. Did he?
He likes
that.
Chuckle. Yeah,
he getting called a specky tube.
He likes that. Well, as much as you can possibly like it, yeah. Let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He says he's proud to make history by taking Rangers to European final. He says it's important they enjoy the occasion along with the fans.
Well, it means a lot. I mean, there aren't many managers in the history of this club who played a European final. There's only one who actually won it, So, you know, hopefully, first for the club, I think it would be really fantastic to win the second prize in Europe in history. It's not often you play finals. It's not often you play a final in Europe as a Scottish team. It's very, very rare it happens. So I'm really honored and proud that we are in the final of Seville and can enjoy this occasion with many fans all around the world. There will be many fans in the stadium. There will be even more fans in the city. So, you know, we are representing this beautiful club. We were representing Scotland. So, you know, we have to make sure we give a good impression. And that's what we want to do.
Let's bring in Edward, who's a Rangers fan in Uddingston. What's your point tonight, Edward?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Rangers striking situation. Obviously, Roof is struggling to get fit next week. But even if he gets fit, how much of a gamble is putting them in with hardly any game time? And just seeing Diallo in the last few games, I think he could be a wild card. Just see what your thoughts are on that.
Well, if anyone's using the last couple of games to show what they can do, whether it's enough or not, fine. But if anyone is, then it's got to be him. He scored 2-2. He's looking
confident. Got another one last night. It's doing him the world of good. It's come too quick, Gordon. I think that you're looking at, if Roof's not available and it's now starting to run out of time for him, I think you'll look at the Aribo situation, get Kamara in the middle of the park. I think it'll be in the same lines as the last home game. And going back to what Mark was talking about, how I think he's going to play it. It's a one-off game, cup final. He ain't going to go there and sit in like he did in Germany. He will have his two full-backs up the pitch. They'll go and attack.
Diallo for you?
No. Not for me. I think you're right, and Edward's right. He's done all right in the last couple of games. 45 minutes against Dundee United, looked lively, scored a good goal last night. Yep, similar. But Amadaz, he's not done enough over the period he's been here to merit a place in the final. I think Van Bronckhorst's blueprint is Leipzig at home. How they started the game, they knew what they had to do. They got themselves in front early in the game, and they were in control. And if everyone's available for selection that was fit that night, I think you go with it. I think even now, if Roof somehow miraculously makes a squad, I think he would start on the bench.
Does he, I mean, by the sounds of it, you're not going to see him this weekend. That would be highly unlikely. So is there any way at all that Roof starts this game then from here for you?
No. I think he would have been in the team last night. You're right, Gordon. I don't think he's going to start on Saturday as well.
When was the last time Roof played? Edward says there he's not had game time for a while now. So, I mean,
was it the semi-final?
We were chatting about on Tuesday night, and callers have come on tonight about the team that played last night, played the strongest team to allow them minutes, you know, because it's then a week and they'll all be rested at weekend. Roof's now, you know, a good couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe, even longer than that. So to have that risk, that lack of match sharpness in such an important game, I don't think Van Bronckhorst will gamble.
Edward, do the Rangers not have the blueprint now, though, for playing without Kamal Roof? Because they've had to. You know, as the guys have been talking about, Aribo, Kent, Scott Wright, for instance, add Fashion Sakala to the mix. Why would you not go with that, considering it got you to the final?
I just remember 2008 and the blueprint getting there, and it was negative in the final, and it's a one-off game and you don't want to regret it like we had 2008. So I would like to just see more attacking rather than sitting in again.
To be fair, didn't sit in the home leg.
No, I was going to say they couldn't do more attacking than they did in the home leg against Leipzig. They had the opportunity.
They're scoring goals without centre-forward.
They had the opportunity to go three up within, 35 minutes when Aribo should have put that game to bed. And that's without a striker. So it's not as if Rangers sat in. There will be times that this Frankfurt team go forward. They're a good side. They will put Rangers under pressure. But I believe if you go with Kent on one side and Scott Wright played exceptionally well that night, and Aribo
last night as well.
Yeah, Aribo so through the middle. Kamara playing the way you can hurt this Frankfurt team. So I'd be surprised if he changes anything with the personnel he's got. I'd be surprised if he changes anything for that that second leg.
Just listening to him there, Gordon, you know, he did a long press conference today. like just indulge in some boring stuff that maybe listeners don't care too much about. You know, you get a lot of Zoom press conferences and so on still in the aftermath of COVID, but the media were in. It was a sort of open day at Rangers Training Centre. Had to speak at length on a number of topics, lots of players speaking about it, and he seemed relaxed, he seemed to be taking it in his stride, but acknowledging there that clip we heard, you know, being proud of taking Rangers into the final. Only one manager's won in that situation. You wonder how he's feeling building up to this and all these, you know, decisions that he's got to make and the burden of the pressure of such an occasion.
Look, he strikes me as a very calm and collective manager. He's probably most of his preparation will have been done for next week. He'll know exactly, you know, the training schedule, what's going to happen. I think he'll know his team if everybody comes through the weekend unscathed. That will be really interesting, because the big question for every Rangers fan, well, surely Tavernier and Golson don't run out at Tynecastle at the weekend. But I think he'll have everything sorted, his tactics, everything, preparation, right up to kickoff. He seems that kind of manager that prepares and prepares well for it. But he will be, of course he's going to be excited. He won't show it just now, but come Wednesday, when his team goes out onto that pitch, Gordon, there'll be butterflies. Of course there will be.
Thank you very much, Edward. It was nice to hear from you, Edward, in Uddingston. One more guess each on the teaser.
Oh, well, I've got 10.
I'll take one, thank you.
I'll go with Nacho Novo.
Yes.
Wee McCulloch.
Yes. All right, we'll get the rest between now and the end of the show. And a reminder, just like George B did full time at Clyde1.com, that is how you get your question read out on the show. I keep saying it, a definitive night in the Premiership. The Premiership is pretty much done. You could shut the doors. I mean, please do listen to us on Saturday, by the way, because we're here. But there's not really anything else to settle. Everybody knows where they're going to finish. I think technically could St Mirren overtake Livy and Hibs could overtake St Mirren, but let's be honest. The big talking points are all done.
Yep.
And Gordon Dalziel, are you getting the passport out? Motherwell sitting pretty in fourth, heading to Europe, guaranteed.
What a result last night, Gordon. Lamy as well, who I can't believe is leaving Motherwell, got a championship team.
Got to be one of the worst decisions ever. That I know.
He scored the goal to seal the top six.
Yeah, so
then scores the goal to seal Europe, and he's a centre half. Yeah. You know, they might not go, remember.
I'll be. Oh, that's right. It could all be resolved.
There appears to be an option there that if Dundee get relegated, that's certainly the impression he's been giving people.
I know what I would be doing if I was him. I'd be on the phone to my agent just now saying, yeah, get us out of this deal.
Too simple for us, though. You never know. Championship Dundee still might pay a lot more than Motherwell, short career, look after your family, all that stuff.
That could be the thing. That could be the deal, Gordon. I think he may be promised a few quid. And look, as much as everybody go, well, don't leave Motherwell.
By the way, I don't know if that's the case.
No, you've got to.
It's sometimes not that simple.
Yeah, if that's the case, and
you wouldn't want to miss out on the run to the Conference League final, would you? That would eat away at you.
No, that will. He'll sit.
You two, great content. You two, away day, Motherwell
qualifier.
Aye,
I'm on by that big train,
and we'll man the stations. We'll get Hugh. Or Andrew can present. Oh, that'd be great.
Have you noticed he's trying to take over tonight? He's got Rangers, he's sorted them out.
I've sorted it out.
Now he's sorting out. I'm trying to help you two away.
Imagine him a week in Albania with a GoPro strapped to his forehead.
I mean, that could keep us going the full year. The content. magnificent.
Unbelievable.
I don't know if you'd ever see me again. That's the problem.
Tell you what, you've been spoiled rotten. It's 8 European qualifications in the last 14 years for Motherwell.
Is it 8? I wouldn't have got that.
8 and 14. Glad that's because you've been to none of them. Let's bring in. I felt it was only right that we take Stephen back on the show. Stephen's a Motherwell fan in Cambus Lang because he was trying to sack Graham Alexander about a week ago. So, Stephen, come on, what's happening?
I've just had my dinner, some humble pie, I think. but no, listen, I still stick by it that the form beforehand wasn't good enough, but you would be mad. You can't justify sacking a manager if he's going to European football. So maybe what Marvin was saying last week about giving him a summer to bring players in, maybe he was right.
Humble pie.
Mm. Oh, I mean, he's
Stephen. I don't think he's had enough of it, but he's had a wee
I know.
Bit.
But I mean, I've been saying for weeks that you guys have been harsh, right? The start, okay, right? It didn't look good that he couldn't win a game, right? I'll get that.
Aye, that's not ideal.
Right? It's not ideal when you're a manager. I know the feeling. I've been there, right? But the difference is that Graeme Alexander won the games when he needed to win them in the start, and then when it comes down to the crux and you need big performances away to Ross County and at home to Hearts, I mean, you look at those two fixtures and you must have thought, not much chances, maybe a couple of points, maybe two draws, but to win them both, brilliant. He's got to be given huge credit for what he's done this season.
Getting the passport looked out, Stephen?
Absolutely. I can't wait. But Graeme Alexander, by the way, I didn't give him credit because he's the first Motherwell manager that I can remember. I came over at the end of the game last night and shook everybody at the disabled shelter's hand and thanked them for their support. And I said to him, Graeme, you don't have to put me through the ringer. It's been a tough year.
I'm sure he appreciated it.
What did they say to that, Stephen?
He laughed and he goes, I know, but you stuck by his right to the end. He clearly never seen my rant after the St Johnson game, so I'm glad that he's not seen that. But no, listen, we've got the results, we're in Europe, so I'm no one for looking back and dwelling. Congratulations to him. I did congratulate him when he got the Manager of the Month award, so I want to be proven wrong with these things. I want him to do well, and just hoping that he can get some signings in the summer and push on for this.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, I think Kevin Van Veen has been ill. He had to come on at the weekend and change things and win the game. I think he had to come on last night and rescue things. It's been the story of the season. So starts well, gets the points on the board. Your best player, arguably, goes to one of your direct rivals for European football. You then obviously have that dip, but you get your couple of results that you need, and you're fourth place and qualified for Europe. It's tough to criticise that, and I know what people would say about the run, but if you can start the season well, finish it well, and get an outcome that, let's be honest, if we were talking earlier on about Celtic and expectations, I'm not sure many people would have had Motherwell to finish fourth at the start of the season.
There have been three big key moments. They started well, Gordon. I think the goal at Livingston was a real saviour. Stephen Two-Faced on the phone would have been on shouting his odds. And then obviously finishing the season well. Two good results. That's a terrific result against Hearts last night. And European football. So I think Motherwell fans will now sit back, look forward to it, enjoy it. Same with Dundee United. All credit to the job Tam Courts has done up there. And I think that they can now sit back and plan for next season. But I'm delighted, and also I can't believe Stephen's not mentioned, but a big thank you for all the years, Keith Lasley. I thought, you know, a very emotional night for him. He's been at Motherwell, can't remember how many years, the service he's given the club, and we wish him all the best at St Mirren's new role.
Stephen, I must admit, I had a bit of a draining night in here till 11 o'clock, and I wasn't quite ready for the videos of Keith Lasley doing a lap of honour at the end of the game. Must have had something in my eye at that point. What was it like to be there?
Oh, listen, it was a great send-off for Keith and one that he probably deserved. I mean, he's been with the club through everything. You talk about the early days of administration, the hard days of the playoff, getting us to Europe. So we've seen many highs and lows of the Motherwell roller coaster, as we call it. And there will always be a place at Motherwell for Keith, but it's understanding why he's been wanting to do this new role at St Mirren. I think he wants to test himself in a new role. So all the best to him, and he's been a terrific, terrific servant to the club.
It's some service, Mark. So for fans of my age, so if you're round about my age, you've pretty much never really known Motherwell without Keith Lasley. Now, I'm not that young, so that shows you the span there, from player to veteran, and played well on loads of appearances into the coaching staff and stayed there for a while as well. And don't get me wrong, I can remember Motherwell teams before that, but it's nearly there, nearly spanned that full.
Did he go to Plymouth? Did he? For about two years in the middle, I think. But I mean, you don't get it that often.
At clubs it's around about 22, it's around about that time.
Because the reason is because you got to have a perfect kind of marriage in that. The player obviously needs to love the club, but the player has to perform for the club, for the club to keep offering them deals. And Lasley's certainly done that over the years, and then moving into coaching. And even when he moved into coaching staff, he's had successful times as well. So he'll be a sore loss for Motherwell fans. But Stephen's right, he's got an opportunity to go and take on something different. It'll be interesting to see how that works out, because don't hear many footballers going into that role.
Yep, 500 games, player, captain, assistant manager, more than 20 years. It doesn't, especially in modern football, you just don't get that.
Yeah, every time you talk about Motherwell, you talk about players, you talk about anyway, Keith Lazarus' name will always come up, Gordon. The send-off last night showed you everything the Motherwell fans thought of him and what he's put into the club. He's put his heart and soul into it, and I think that's why he goes with everybody's best wishes. And I'm sure Steve Robinson will be looking forward to working with him again.
Thank you to Stephen. He's away to finish his humble pie. You can keep your calls coming on the teaser. Can you name the 10 players who scored at any stage of European competition for Rangers on the road to Manchester? No penalty shootout goals included. McCulloch, Novo, Adam, Ferguson, Whittaker.
Was Kenny Miller involved?
Nope.
Thompson?
Nope.
Chris Burke?
Oh, you're getting worse.
Stephen Naismith.
He started really well. This is terrible.
Stop shouting.
I'm shouting names. Stephen Naismith.
No.
Darshville.
Yes.
See, give me an opportunity.
Kevin Thompson.
I just said Thompson. Right, see, you're too busy shouting.
You two need a couple of minutes together just to get the communication channels open, work on your communication, your teamwork, and we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Quickly, did you get any on the teaser during the break, you two? The 10 players who scored for Rangers at any stage of the run to Manchester, penalty shootout not included. You've got McCulloch, Ferguson, Whittaker, Novo, Adam, Darshville.
We're going two centre halves. Carlos Cuellar.
No.
And okay,
don't waste my time.
Marks. David Weir.
Yes.
There you go. Thanks, Mark.
Chris Boyd.
No. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll get the rest soon. I keep calling it. You can come up with a different word. It was a definitive night in the Premiership last night. At the bottom, Dundee's relegation was confirmed. Let's speak to Gary, who's a Dundee podcaster and long suffering fan. Gary, we had you on the show when Mark McGee was appointed. Safe to say you weren't overly enthusiastic about the idea. How do you look back on it all now after last night?
It's nice to be right for once.
That's true.
I think it was an appointment that I don't think any fan either expected or really wanted. I think generally you've got to give someone the benefit of the doubt and hope for the best, but it went from bad to worse to even worse, and obviously Tuesday night was the only win Mark McGee's reign. I don't expect it to last beyond the game at Livingston at the weekend. And I think it's probably an episode that fans are hoping we can just move on from, and hopefully in what looks like a pretty soft championship next year, hopefully put together a team with a new manager that can challenge to hopefully see us bounce right back up.
Yeah, Dundee's spell in the top flight this time only lasts a season. Mark Wilson, how do you reflect on it?
Well, we chatted about Dundee. I think it was pretty unexpected anyway that they came up, and they done great to get up. But it was all a bit odd for me when Dundee came up. The signings that they made, I think they went for experience in the league rather than trying to rebuild something. You know, they went for players maybe with a decent past, a reputation, and it just didn't work out. And it was funny, when James McPate looked to be getting somewhere, that's when he lost his job. The appointment of Mark McGee, we all said at the time, Mark McGee's been a fantastic coach over the years and had a great footballing career, but I just didn't believe he was the right man to change Dundee. And it's proved that way, and everybody actually had the same opinion. There was very few that went, oh, he'll make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, if you're going to change the manager and look for that bounce, you obviously need to get it right, and this was far from it. Ironically, you get a win that maybe looks like it's going to shake things up the other night, but St Johnson respond, do their part, and it's far too little too late.
Yeah, it's turned out to be a bad appointment, you've got to say. They were always in trouble for me. I thought, like Mark, they'd signed the wrong sort of players to keep them in that league. James McPate started getting a little bit of momentum. I know he had a difficult game up at, I think it was Peterhead in the Scottish Cup, but he got through it. I think he won his next game or whatever it may be. Yeah, but I just... it was a what you call in football an old pals act. Now, you can backing Gordon Strachan up by saying, well, look at the experience Mark McGee's got in management. But I just thought the timing was poor. The fans didn't take to him. That makes it worse, Gordon. You need someone to get in there, give the club a lift, give the players a lift. Some of the statements, you know, even walking in the first day and having a team meeting saying, look, we're not going to win many games. It doesn't fill you with confidence, I've got to say. But Dundee, just they're relegated now and they'll need to regroup and see what they can do next season. But it's going to be hard to get into that championship.
Let's pull out the pointless hypotheticals, Gary. Would James McPake have kept you up?
I think we would at the very least be taking it into the final day of the season. I think when he left, we obviously were much closer to St Johnstone. And as much as he would occasionally have a game where things fell apart, no games in Ladybank, where it is there, but as much as that would occasionally happen, he would also pull victories out of the bag. And for Mark McGee, he drew 5 games before he was able to even win one. And I think he could have done something. I think what we saw against Hibs the other night too, obviously Hibs had nothing to play for, but what we saw was that we gave youth a little bit of a chance. And I think the likes of Josh Mulligan, the likes of Matt Sanderson, they're going to be people that we have to try and give more game time to next season under a new manager, which seems to be the case. And just hope that we can put something much more dynamic and much more exciting for the fans on the pitch.
I mean, like, you know, Mark McGee is still there as things stand at the moment. What do you think the dugout will look like, or what do you hope it will look like going forward into next season?
I think when I was on the show a few months ago, I said I would love it if Jack Ross came in. Now, I think we've all heard Jack Ross say before that he doesn't want to work under a director of football. It seems to be the case that Gordon Strachan is about to be appointed a director of football style role. So I don't think, sadly, it is going to be Jack Ross. If it's not going to be him, my hope is that, you know, Kevin Thompson's been interviewed, it seems, for the Greater Rovers job. I think he would be somebody who has ties to Gordon Strachan and has ties to Dundee and could be, you know, at least worth interviewing. And beyond that, you've seen the cavalcade of other former players getting touted. Someone for me that would be brilliant would be Morten Veghorst, who is currently the assistant manager in Denmark. But you never know, he might want to come in. So I think hopefully we're going to be a little bit more optimistic's not the right word, but a little bit more ambitious in who we appoint rather than going for someone that's tried and tested.
Do you know who's a bad, bad man?
Producer Callum. Is, yeah, I could see him.
You can hear, you know where Gary is, you can hear the train. Producer Callum's just buzzed in my ear and said, next stop, championship.
Gary.
Gary, it was nice to have you on the show because you'll knock it back the next time he asks you. So have a nice life. Good man, that was Gary, Dundee fan and podcaster, and someone like who
that. It's took him all season to get one out, but well done.
That was good.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's getting to that stage. Things are won and lost and secured and finalised, and that's it at the bottom. I mean, interestingly, it's only a bit of a success for St Johnstone. It's better than going straight down, but we still wouldn't have envisaged them being in the playoffs after the season they had last year. But now they know that's where they're at. They can try and psych themselves up for it and stay in the division the nervous way.
Well, either game that they face is not particularly appealing, neither player Broth or Inverness. So
who'd you fancy, Mark?
Arbroath, yeah. I think Arbroath will win that one. So you don't fancy going to Arbroath? We've seen how hard it was for Hibs in the Scottish Cup. So tough one.
Yeah, some others tonight actually. Queen's Park Airdrie, looking forward to that one. Then on to tomorrow, we're both Inverness and Anne in Edinburgh City. And then we roll on to the weekend for some other big ones as well. So lots to look forward to. Let's try and round off this teaser. Thank you to George for sending it in. Can you name all 10 players who scored at any stage of any European competition for Rangers on the road to Manchester in 07-08? It doesn't include penalty shootouts. So you've got Davy Weir, Barry Ferguson, Stephen Whittaker, Nacho Novo, Charlie Adam, Jean-Claude Darcheville, 3 to go.
I'm going to go for Broadfoot.
Ooh, Kirk Broadfoot playing in the playoffs with Inverness.
Header, corner kick, boom.
No.
No, right, okay.
Steve Davis.
Yep, he's there as well.
Sasa Papic.
Oh, well, he's just pulling out all these old pals, isn't he?
And is he one?
Oh, no, he's not. No.
Oh, no.
He's just obsessed with him. Who did you say, Stephen Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the list, but yeah, Papic isn't.
Papic, what about Pedro Mendes there?
Nope.
Oh no,
and now we're struggling. What have we got to get?
Struggling big time.
Edu.
There's one I can't believe you've not got.
Kuzan.
Oh, Kuzan. It's my old pal.
Daniel Kuzan. Well done.
And one more.
Yep. My old wrestling pal.
Give us a wee clue. Don't say he played with Rangers.
You just named one of his countrymen.
Steve Davis.
No.
No.
Morris Edu.
Beasley.
Yes, yeah, DeMarcus Beasley.
Well done, Mark.
DeMarcus Beasley. Thank you, Mark Wilson, Gordon Deal.
No,
what a time of the season. This was us reflecting on a title that's been wrapped up. Congratulations again to Celtic. Congratulations to Motherwell and Dundee United for securing Europe. Commiserations to Dundee at the bottom. There is still so much to be done on this build up to Seville as well. So make sure you join Kenny Miller, a man I'm sure who's looking forward to it, and Hugh Keevans will be with him tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. I look forward to speaking to you then, and Callum Gallagher is up next.